Let's just present ourselves to the Lord tonight. Father, I pray as we enter into this time of study of your word, I ask that you would, Lord, touch our minds tonight, Lord, that very often are filled with care and clutter from the week. Lord, things we just pick up along the way of living life. I pray that you would calm fear. I pray, Lord, that you would ease anxiety. I pray, Lord God, that you would lift burdens. I pray, God, right now, that you would, Lord, relieve cares of this life in the name of Jesus. Clear our minds, Lord. Take your hands, God, and touch our minds right now, Lord, and speak peace, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Give us hearing ears, Lord. Give us hearts, God, that desire the word of God, that desire to please you. Help us, Lord God, tonight to hear the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you say that with me? In Jesus' name. One more time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. The Lord is here in a very, very, very powerful way tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, we're excited to start what is going to be, we think, a mini-series on the gifts of the Spirit. Pastor and I got to talking one night, and he said, well, would you like to teach that? I said, well, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. I don't stand here claiming to be an expert on the gifts of the Spirit. I have learned some things along the way, and our topic tonight is not going to be directly on the gifts of the Spirit, but it's going to be related to the gifts of the Spirit. And as I stand before you tonight, I do not stand as to claim that I have attained. I will claim with the Apostle Paul that I am pressing toward the goal. I'm pressing toward the mark. I have not already attained, but I have been apprehended of Christ, and I am trying to apprehend that which has apprehended me. Amen? So anything I tell you, I'm not standing here to claim that I have my act together, that I am perfect in what we're going to be talking about, but I do stand here to tell you that I've learned a few things along the way. Amen? And unfortunately, I was talking to a man at National, it's not carpet mill, but whatever that thing's called on an 18 where they sell all the carpet. We were there before service, and we got to talking about things, and he was talking about making a mistake or learning from experience. And I said, well, you know, I said, that's not uncommon. Most of us are that way. We learn from experience. Because he was talking about how he moved to California, and you know, because I had mentioned my son pastors out there, and he started talking about his Lord, and I thought, well, that's good. Open a little door, open the conversation. His name's Steve. He lives in Wadsworth. How about that? And so we'll be praying for Steve. But anyway, talked about how, you know, the Lord just let him do what he wanted to do, and he got his experience, and he learned from it. And often that's how we learn. So I'm talking to you from not only those experiences, but things I have studied in the Word of the Lord along the way over the past few years. But we're going to talk about the topic tonight, the more excellent way. The more excellent way. And we want to turn your attention tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. We will read the word of the Lord, make some comments, and launch off into our study of the more excellent way. There's a means to the madness here tonight, and hopefully by the time we're done, it'll all make sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ. Everybody say, that's me. And members in particular. Folks, it's important that we remember not just who we are, but whose we are. Amen. Whose we are. Okay? You are a part of the body of Christ. You are vital and you are important. You just didn't fall off the turnip truck and find yourself in the kingdom of God. God has called you. God has equipped you, and God has plans for you. Amen? Amen. It's a lifelong journey, but I just want you to know from the onset, you are important. You are vital. Verse 28 says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So there is a place for everyone in the kingdom of God. Please keep that up there if you would. Yes, so we have apostles and we have prophets and we have teachers and that miracles, workers of miracles. And then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So there is a place for you in the kingdom of God. But Paul says to the church, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. The answer to these questions is no. Everyone is not an apostle. Everyone is not a prophet. Everyone is not a teacher. Everyone will not work a miracle. Okay? Why am I bringing that out? Because we need to know our place in the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean you won't grow into a place in time and God use you in a manner that you've not been used before. That has happened, and that does happen, okay? But the Bible talks about people abiding in the calling wherewith they are called. So if I'm not a worker of miracles, okay, I don't need to feel guilty if someone beside me is raising the dead and casting out devils, if I'm doing what God has called me to do. So we need to understand, and we need to pay particular attention to Scripture. Okay? Jesus said he called some, and they're going to bear fruit. Some are going to bear 30-fold, some are going to bear 60-fold, and some are going to bear 100-fold. There are people in the kingdom of God that are bearing much more fruit than I do. Do I feel guilty about that? Should I feel guilty about that? No, I shouldn't feel guilty about that, because they are at a different calling in the kingdom of God than I am. Now, if I'm a 30-fold Christian and I'm only producing at 25%, should I be concerned about that? Yes, I should. I should. Why? Because there's something wrong, not just because I'm not producing at the level God wants me to produce. It's an indicator there's something wrong with my relationship with God. That's the bottom line. See, and the reason why I say that is because in our minds, we as people are very performance-oriented creatures, aren't we? We like to know we've done a good job. We like to be affirmed that we've done a good job. I mean, most of us. And I think everybody in this room, but I'm talking about people in general. And we want to know we're making a difference, we're contributing, we're making an impact, okay? So that's good. However, it's not an impact and a contribution in my works is going to get me into heaven. It's me knowing Jesus Christ and him knowing me. How can I say that? Because Jesus said there's going to come a time when the judgment is set. Okay? Sheep on one side, goats on the other. There are going to be people that say, Lord, Lord, what are we doing over here? You know, we in your name, in your name. Everybody say in your name. God responds to faith. Okay? He responds to his name. So in your name, we cast out devils. In your name, we did this, we did that, we did many marvelous works. And he's going to look at him and he's going to say, but I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. That is a profound scripture. See, I spent a lot of time preaching and teaching. I got to know him. I got to know him. I got to know him. Why? Because the Apostle Paul said, I got to know him. That's good, right? But it's possible for me to know him and him not to know me. He said it. He said, I never knew you. You knew me. You knew my name. You knew what I could do, but I never knew you. And if you do a study on that, it indicates in the original language the connotation of intimacy, okay? That we would not allow the Lord to be intimate with us and have his way in our life, okay? So why am I saying all this? Because we're going to be talking about being used in the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about, we think we got this down. The reason why I say think we have this down, because, you know, we started off and where's this going to go? And I said, well, I think maybe we can get it done in one lesson. Well, I don't know. I think we need two. Now I'm like, well, we probably ought to have three. And he's given me that liberty. Pastor Matt has given me that liberty. So we're looking today at the more excellent way. Lesson two, we're going to be talking about, Lord willing, the gifts of the Spirit themselves and what they are. And lesson three, the operation of the gifts. But why the foundation, okay? Because if you think about this, we are in a very precarious position, okay? If you really, really look at what we've been called to do in the kingdom of God and in this earth, folks, we've got a serious responsibility. We really do. It's more than everything. You know, we do that, and yes, that's biblical, and yes, we do it. Yes, I like it. Yes, it's good. But folks, it's beyond all that. I've got to know him, and I have to fulfill his plan for my life. Okay? So if you really think about what's going on here, we, the Bible says we, everybody say we have this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay. One scripture defines it as, or translates it as. And why? The Bible says that the power of God may be a power, may, you know, God may rest on us, that he will get the glory, that he will get the honor. So there's two things we need to understand about that. We're never going to be everything we should be, okay? But at the same time, what a precarious position we have to carry the glory of God in this fallen, frail vessel. We have a challenge. We have to get out of God's way every day and stay out of his way. We have to somehow portray him to this lost and dying world through our filthy, demented, perverted, and I don't mean necessarily sexual connotation, but messed up, out of whack flesh. I don't know about you, but I still walk in the flesh. I'm still tempted to get angry. I'm still tempted to think things I shouldn't think and say things I shouldn't say and just all kinds of stuff that comes with being in the flesh. Okay? I don't know what we thought being a Christian was going to be, but I'm telling you what, it's a warfare. And your worst enemy is the person you look at every morning in the mirror and brush their teeth and comb their hair or shave their face or whatever it is you do. Trim your beard. Whatever. That's the problem right there. And why are we talking about this? Because we can get into all kinds of trouble when things start happening. And I mean good things, powerful things, if we're not in a place of humility and walking in the love of God. And how do you know that, Brother Pritt? Well, I'm not going to take a show of hands because I asked you kind of late, and I don't know what your schedule was like this week, but hopefully everybody had a chance to either listen to or read the book of 1 Corinthians all the way through this week. And the reason why I ask us to do that is because as we talk about the things we're going to talk about, I wanted it to pop in your mind. Oh, yeah, that's what he's talking about. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Folks, I need to get through my scripture, don't I? Folks, the church of Corinth was a mess. It was an absolute mess, all right? But that is the book, that is the church where we derive this teaching about the gifts of the Spirit from. Why? Because they're talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But sandwiched in between the gifts of the Spirit teachings, Paul stopped and said, we're going to have intermission here because we're going to talk about a more excellent way. We're going to talk about the love of God, Corinth. Why did Paul think it necessary to talk about the love of God? Well, number one, they had a lot of junk going on in the church. You ever notice sometimes in the church, we can have a lot of junk going on. I've not went to a perfect church yet. One of these days we will. But we're all going to be glorified, transfigured. But at the same time, Paul said, Corinth, you can't use that as an excuse. Sometimes there's too much excuse making going on. Yeah, we're in the flesh, but we got a Holy Ghost inside of us. That Paul said, the way that his life is lived through me is that I die daily. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, what? In the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, that is the only way this is going to get done, is death to self. Death to self. And that's why we're talking about the more excellent way. Why? Because as we look into this stuff, and if God begins to use us in more powerful ways or different ways, we could be tempted to step back and say, hey, that's pretty cool. And feel kind of good about ourselves. All right? And that's not a good place to be. Why? Because it's the power of God. It's the power of God given to His people to edify and build up the body of Christ. When we edify and build up the body, what do? We lift up Jesus Christ. We edify and we build the body of Christ. Amen. So He said, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Now that doesn't mean do all speak with tongues as in a prayer mode unto the Lord. He's talking about the gift of tongues being used in your tongues and interpretation. And we're going to dive into all that in lesson 2 and in lesson 3 about the gift of tongues, the difference between receiving the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues and being used in the gifts of the tongues for edification of the church, which require by scripture an interpretation or else stop speaking. And then we're going to get into all that. So there is a difference, okay? So, do all interpret. See, in context, tongues, interpretation. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Everybody say the best gifts. He said, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So, even though we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, which are necessary, which are given, please keep that up there, which are given for the edification of the church, and the Lord gives to whomever He wants the gifts. And we're going to talk about that too. God gives the gifts, His gifts, to whoever He wants to have them. Okay? And I think one thing we want to derive from these teachings is, have I sought the Lord? Because the Bible does say to desire spiritual gifts. It's not wrong to want to be used by God. I hope that doesn't surprise anybody. But it's not. It's not wrong for you to want to say, Lord, would you use me in this particular area? Because let me ask you this question. If you're loving God and you're humble before the Lord and you just want to do what God wants you to do, what do you think would make you want to be used by God like that? It's not your flesh. If you're not walking in vainglory and you're walking in humility before the Lord, and all of a sudden you think, man, I would really like the Lord to use me like this, I would probably say there's probably a 100% chance that that's probably God talking to you, wanting to use you. And if God calls you to a gift, God's going to empower you to be used by that. So, but we want to talk about the more excellent way. We want to launch out because as I begin to study this, and I begin to study the gifts of the Spirit and the love of God. Now, I was telling Pastor, we want to launch off. We want to talk about the love of God. That's the more excellent way that he's talking about. Again, why? Because we don't want to fall into the pattern or of what the Corinthian church went through. I mean, if you can avoid a pitfall, why not avoid it? Right? That's why road signs are all the way down. Have you ever noticed how many signs are along the road to tell you how to drive? Turn here, merge here, this lane ends, avoid this, yield, stop, go, one way, wrong way, you know, all over. Why? Safety. To get from point A to point B in a safe manner and not kill anybody along the way. Well, you might say that's what lesson about the excellent way is tonight. We want to get from point A to point B and not hurt anybody along the way. Why? Because if we're, and I say this not in a derogatory term, I say it in the interpretation of the lack of knowledge, but if we're ignorant, okay, about how to operate in these things because we don't have the love of God in our heart, we can really hurt people. Okay? And I say this again from experience. I have had what I felt like the Lord has shared with me for people. Okay? And again, if God uses you in a word of knowledge, it's not necessarily going to be you standing up here with a microphone telling someone something or whatever. That does happen. We see it through the ministry of Brother Hurt. Fine. I mean, he's really, right? He's really used. But there may be times, and again, this is for the edification of the body. There may be times you might come to church and the Lord might speak, drop a word in your heart for somebody. Okay? That's happened to me. And I'd be like, are you sure? Why? Is it because I don't trust the Lord? No. I want to make sure that I can trust myself, that I've heard the voice of God right. Now, one way that I approach that is I don't come up and say, Brother Mark, thus saith the Lord. Okay? Number one, if I'm wrong, I got to understand. And again, this kind of gets back to the more excellent way in walking in love. I'm messing with someone's faith. Okay? I'm messing with their mind and I'm messing with their emotions when I say the Lord said, if I'm not right. Okay? So, one time I do remember, I don't know, so who knows when it was, because I don't even know what day it is anymore. Honestly, I don't. It was Saturday, and I had to stand in the store and figure out it was Saturday. And the other day it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and I had to figure out it was Tuesday or Wednesday because I don't even know what work schedule I'm going to be working. I don't know if I can go to the store, if I can go out. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know when it was, but I came to church, and I really felt impressed that the Lord was talking to a particular individual about prayer. And just really felt like I had a confirming word for him that, you know what, God wants to use you in this ministry. And so I thought, well, this won't leave me alone. And I didn't come to church looking for somebody to talk to. As a matter of fact, church hadn't even started. And I said, so-and-so, I said, I feel the Lord wants to blah, 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 blah. And they thank me. During service, we talked a little bit about it, but they didn't just thank me. During service, message in tongues interpretation came and said, the Lord said, you remember this? The Lord said, I'm calling all intercessors. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Because it was neat to confirm the word unto them. And, you know, not only had I mentioned it to them, and the Lord directly through tongues interpretation mentioned to them, but, you know, they had been themselves, the Lord had been dealing directly with them. So I want to be very careful in those types of things. Why? Because I want to build the body up. I don't want to tear the body down. And, you know, just another example, one time, I this has been several years ago, but I was in service, and there was a younger person there, and I just really, really sensed. And remind me, if I forget to talk about sensing the presence of God, someone raise your hand and say, Brother, talk about sensing. I'm serious, sensing the presence of God. But I really sensed that the Lord, this person was having trouble with an area of their life. And, again, I call it a lack of faith, call it what you will, but I just try to be careful. Again, I just don't want to walk up. I'm not confident enough, I guess, in myself to walk up and say, bro, you got this going on. Even though I pretty much know that's what's going on, you know? So I'm just being transparent with you. So this is the way I do it. So I walked up and I said, how you doing? You doing okay? No. Well, I'm glad you're honest. I love it. People are honest like that. We know we can work together, right? And I didn't say, really, what's going on, man? I said, are you having trouble with us and so? And they said, yeah. I said, well, I really feel the Lord spoke to me and showed me you were. And you know, we talked, and I don't know if we prayed or whatever, but to give them that encouragement that, you know, the Lord sees where you are. But those things have got to be done in love. I can't feel good about those things, okay? And if we're in the flesh and we're not walking in love, the temptation is we can feel good about that. Why? Because, you know, we're carrying around the glory of God. Again, this is serious business. Think of Simon the sorcerer, okay? In the book of Acts, he saw people getting the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, demonstration, power, and Spirit of God. He didn't have the love of God in him yet. He didn't understand what was going on. He wanted to buy that power. Peter said, you are in deep trouble, son. You need to repent. So I don't think there's anybody like that in here, but we need to be careful, because these things start popping, they start happening, they start moving. Okay, we're going to need to be in the love of God. Okay, the gifts of the Spirit are not for me to take my bad day out on anybody. Amen. I gotta be in a right mind. I gotta be in a right spirit. I gotta be in a gentle spirit. You know, the Spirit of God does not drive. The Spirit of God leads. Amen. He's a shepherd. He's not a cowboy. He's not a ranger. He leads. So I gotta be in that spirit. You know, and the church at Corinth was just a mess. And Paul takes this intermission. And he says, okay, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit here. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit here. But right in the middle, we're going to talk about this thing called love. Love is the most distorted, probably, word in the English vocabulary in the day and age in which we live. Okay? Because love does not agree with everything. It does not. Because I disagree with you doesn't mean I hate you. Because I disagree with your lifestyle or your philosophy doesn't mean that I'm out to get you. I'm intolerant. Okay? It doesn't mean that I hate you. It doesn't mean that I won't talk to you. It doesn't mean that I won't be your friend. Okay? But that's the world's definition of love. If you don't line up and you don't approve of my life and my behavior, you hate me. That's not true. Okay? There is a distinction in the Word of God between light and dark, between good and evil, between righteousness and unrighteousness. And the world has taken this word love and they blurred all lines to the point they can do evil. And when they're questioned about it, we're not going to talk about that. I'm not taking questions on that. Somebody probably tell me who I'm imitating right now. We're not going to talk about that today. I'm here to take questions about this. You know, we got this major, major issue going on. And it's not being covered in the press and the media. Why? Because we want to shove that underneath the rug, right? And we're not going to talk about it. Okay? So basically, I can live the way I want to live. I can live as ungodly as I want to live. Okay? I don't want to talk about the bad things I'm doing. You have to accept me. You have to love me. Either that or you're a hater. Well, that's not true. It's not true at all. So we need to be careful, and we need to have a correct and a proper definition of love, because, church, this world can intimidate you. This world can intimidate me into not having conversations with people, or broaching subjects that we should broach with people, or share the gospel with people. Why? Because we're going to be afraid of being condemning and hateful, because we just don't accept and we don't agree with everything that's going on. Well, I'm sorry. If I'm going to follow the Word of God, I'm not going to accept everything that comes along. I'm not going to agree with everything that comes along. Does that mean I have to be ugly and hateful about it? No, I hope not. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's hard not to get wrapped up into that, because we live in an ugly, hateful world. But we got to stop making excuses for our ugly, hateful behavior. We have the Holy Ghost. They don't. Okay? Again, I'm not talking about someone who's got this perfected, but I have learned some things along the way. Okay? So, the Corinthian church, They were a mess. Why? Because they didn't have the love of God flowing in their heart. They had factions in the church. One said, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of this person, I'm of Cephas, and this person baptized me, and that person baptized me, and that person baptized me, and I follow them, and I've... How in the world? How in the world did they survive? They were so divided. Paul came along. We call him the great apostle Paul. I've heard him called that before. I often thought Paul would probably blush if he heard that. I said, please, no, 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 no. But the great apostle Paul came along and he said, look, church, you're a mess. But you know, the beautiful thing about it was, when he started the whole discourse, if you listen to the book or you read it, what did he start out as? Brethren. He started calling them brethren and commending them and loving them before he ever got into the meat of the subject. And if you look at the Spirit of God, that's how Jesus does. Look at how he addressed the seven churches in Revelation. Did he come in and lambaste them for all their faults the first time he wrote to them? No, he didn't. He said, and unto the angel of the church of blah, 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 write. And he listed all the good that they have been doing, if he could find it. And most of them he did. Okay? He listed all the good. He commended them. He loved them. He built them up. The Spirit of God builds. It doesn't tear down. And he said, these are all the good things. Now, I have somewhat against you. Why? Because the Lord's love not only builds up, but it will correct. It will instruct in righteousness and long-suffering. Okay? So it doesn't ignore the wrong that's going on. It addresses it. But it also, it does it in a manner that's going to build up. So, we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? And this is why we're talking about love. But what does our flesh want to do? Okay? The love we're talking about is not natural. And we're going to talk about the definition of it in 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? It's not natural to do the things and to feel and to conduct ourselves in the manner that Paul tells us that love conducts itself in 1 Corinthians 13. It's not natural to our flesh. Okay? Now, there are some nice, kind people in this world, but most of us are a miserable wreck. Okay? I'm in that classification. Miserable wreck. I need Jesus. Okay? I need to crucify this flesh. And again, I've learned some things along the way, but some of the lessons have been very hard. So anyway, there were factions. Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize most all of you. This is a profound statement to me. See, I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel. Well, why? How could Paul say that? I mean, didn't he believe the message of baptism in Jesus' name? He absolutely did. But Paul realized if he preached the gospel and the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power, and they put their faith in the power of God, which he said that's what his goal was, there would be baptisms. He knew that. So, they were worldly, he said. They had jealousy among them. They had quarreling among them. This is a powerful church. They were. I mean, they didn't just get the gifts of the Spirit because he wrote it in 12 and 14. They already had it going on. They were powerful, but they were a mess. God doesn't want a powerful mess. God wants righteousness and holiness, and God wants justice. Okay? There is... Y'all didn't remind me to get back to sensing the presence of God. No one reminded me, see? I just remembered that. I need to talk about that. I'm just teasing y'all, brother. What did I say? Sensing? Let me write it down. Sensing. I am just messing with you anyway. I love y'all. I'm just proud of myself that I actually remembered. Thank you very much, Jesus. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's 12 after 8, and I'm not even off page 1. So, anyway. What was I talking about when I got off on the sensing? Weren't you all listening? I'm just teasing. Yes. Worldly, jealousy, quarreling. Yes, we don't need a powerful mess. That's what it was. Okay? What am I trying to say? We can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. We can be a powerful church in the Spirit. And we can be full of problems. Now, again, we're always going to have problems because we're people. But the problem is when we tolerate the problem. Like Mayor Frank Jackson in Cleveland said, problem is we don't. It's not that we don't know we have a problem. We know we have a problem. Problem is we haven't done anything about it. Well, church, sometimes, even among us, the problem is we don't know. It's not that we don't know we have a problem. We know we have a problem. Problem is we haven't done anything about the problem. And I think Jesus has come tonight and said, church, we're going to have this teaching. And I do believe the Lord wants to give us a breakout in this area. But he doesn't want a powerful mess. So if you got a problem, take care of it. Okay? If God's been talking to you about something, take care of it. They tolerated open fornication. He said such fornication is not even mentioned among the Gentiles. This man and his stepmother. Okay? You can read it. He said you didn't mourn. He said you boasted in the situation. They were powerful. They had the gifts of the Spirit operating among them. One would come with a song. One would come with a hymn. One would come with a word from God. They were used by God. And this was going on over here. And they had nothing about it. Paul said, I got a problem with that. They want the law against one another. They sued each other in court. They were a powerful mess. God doesn't want us to be a powerful mess. They misused the Lord's Supper. They'd get together and they'd come, they'd call it the Lord's Supper, and they'd have a brother over here that didn't have enough to rub two nickels together. He didn't have anything to eat. And this one over here, he's eating filet mignon and drinking wine or grape juice or whatever it was, and, you know, eating whatever. Probably not shrimp if he was a Jew. Certainly not pork, but hey. They still follow the dietary laws. But you get my point. They were having a good old time. Their church gatherings were disorderly. Apparently they'd come together and they'd have all kinds of messages in tongues interpretation. Why? Without interpretation, because Paul said, and he instructed them, and we're going to get into this in deeper detail, but he said if someone speaks in tongues, message, and we speak to ourselves in worship service, yes, we do, but you can tell when God wants to speak to the congregation or someone feels they have a message in tongues and they get louder, you know, and things generally get quieter, and that's a good cue that, hey, I need to cue into what God's doing here because, man, it sounds like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so just really getting ready to blow up, you know, and we know who's using the gifts of tongues interpretation, and you know, we can follow after the Spirit and cooperate with God so he can speak. But apparently they were misusing it, he said, because if you don't have an interpreter, be quiet. Now, again, I'm not saying this for self-glorification, but I'm trying to give you my understanding, my perspective. I don't know if this is something that you've ever noticed. But when I have the microphone in my hand and I'm speaking, I try very hard not to pray in tongues with this microphone in my hand. Because the Apostle Paul said that if there's not an interpretation, pray to yourself. Okay? And if I'm praying to God in myself, in my spirit, okay, and I know it's not a message of tongues interpretation, I might put it down and pray to myself. Why? Because There is an order to this. God did say, let all things be done decently in order, and we'll talk about that. So, yeah. But sensing the presence of God, I do want to talk about that just a moment. And then we're going to get into the love part deeper. I think it's important that we learn to sense the presence of God. And what I mean by that, this didn't happen to me because I was seeking God for this to happen. It just happened, okay? And it was God teaching me something, I think. It was down at camp meeting, sitting in the big aisle, right? Everybody knows where the big aisle camp meeting is? What, middle center aisle, goes across the tabernacle. Not the one up and down, but across. And I think it was worship service was going on or something like that. And I don't know what I was doing. I mean, just having church, you know, worshiping. And you could sense the presence of God. I didn't see anything. I didn't see angels. I didn't see any glory cloud, you know, like people have seen before. And I believe that. I believe you've seen it, if you've seen it. This might have been the same night, too. I got to tell you something else. But you could sense the presence of God move across that tabernacle, okay? And as if the Lord ever spoke to me, the Lord spoke to me that night, and he learned me something. Anybody ever learned anything from the Lord? He learned me something. He spoke to my spirit and said, it is one thing to feel the presence of God. It's another thing to sense my presence, to know my presence. Well, is there a difference? I think there is. I think there is. I can be in a service and not be involved in what's going on and in tune with God, and I can feel God. People can walk in here not seeking God, and they can feel God. Okay? But when you're in a place and you know God's there, you know God is operating. And how do we do that? Because we got to tune in. We're carnal. The Bible says that the carnal man doesn't receive the things of God, but the spiritual man does. We have to tune our senses into what God's doing. You can know what God is doing. Well, isn't that kind of presumptuous, Brother Pritt? No, it's not. He's my God. He wants me to know what he's doing. I mean, does he tell me every move he's going to make? No, I'm still waiting on answers to some things, and I'll probably never get them, and that's okay. You know, I've got to trust him. But to sense the presence of God. So let's go to, and I want to tie that into, we're going to talk about a few more things here in just a minute, but I want to tie that into being used by God, okay? To being used by God in the gifts of the Spirit, or being used by God in general. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this more excellent way that we talked about here. What does Paul say about it? I'm going to read from the New English Translation. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love. Now, he just got talking about the gifts in 12. He's going to talk about them again in 14. But he's taking a break here. And he said, if I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. So, if the Lord came down and he said, Darren, you can add your interpretation of this scripture of this scripture, here's what I would say. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm only fooling myself. And self-deception is one of the greatest deceptions there is. Because you deceive yourself, nobody's going to convince you otherwise. Okay? And this is important. And I love Bible studies like this. And I love Thursday night Bible studies, folks, because we need the Word of God. Pastor talked about needing God more than ever, man. We need the Word. We need the Word. We need the Word. Because the Bible says in the last days, what did Jesus say? He said, be careful that you're what? You're not deceived. Okay? There's only one way I'm going to be enlightened, and that's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So verse 2, go ahead. It says, and if I have a prophecy and all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own, and I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I receive no benefit. Now, here comes the hard part. You know why it's hard? Because we try to do this in the flesh. Have you ever thought of the oxymoron when people say, I'm struggling with less than so? I'm struggling with sin. I'm struggling with hatred. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with anger. Why do we struggle with it? Have you ever thought about that? It dawned on me one day. Why do we struggle with it? I'm struggling with it. Well, why don't I just die to myself? Why don't I just die to my flesh? Is it always that easy? No. But sometimes I dare say we make it a lot harder than it should be. Why? Because we don't get accountability in our life. We don't get honest about it. We just, I'm struggling. Well, can we be honest and say I'm not really struggling? I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm just playing around with it. I'm messing around with whatever it is, and I like what I'm doing. So I'm not really struggling. I'm just tolerating it. Got to be careful, folks. So anyway, back to this. We try to do this in the flesh. So he says, love is patient. Love is kind. You notice it doesn't say love is nice. Try to find the word nice in the King James Version of the Bible. Go home and search the word nice in your Bible app in the King James Version of the Bible and tell me if you find it. In all the Bible, if you find the word nice, N-I-C-E, nice. I think you'd be shocked. I think you'll be shocked. But it said love is kind. It is not envious. It does not brag. It's not puffed up. It is not rude. Now, I'll be honest with you, it hurts to read the scripture. It hurts. Because this ain't me. It's not. But Paul said, son, this is what you need to be. How do I do that? Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Not self-serving, is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. That's an important thing I wanted to bring out. Let me stop right there. And I think we're going to have to do half of this, and I'm sorry, but it's not glad about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. Church, we need to be careful that we don't fall into the deception that when we call for justice and righteousness as the church, that people accuse us of being unmerciful. It's not true. Or people accuse us of being vengeful. It's not true. There is a difference between justice and revenge. Revenge is what man wants. Justice is what God wants. And if we ever stop seeking justice as the church, we better just close the doors and find something else we like to do. That's the truth. Does that mean we judge everything and we nitpick and we're not patient with people? Not at all. You know that. I know that. But folks, Pastor talked about our culture needing prayer. There are some very serious stuff going on in our culture. We need to be praying for God's justice to prevail. Not just in our executive branch, but in the legislative branch and the judicial branch and in our churches and in our homes and in our lives, that God's justice would prevail. Why? Because don't you want what is right in the eyes of the Lord? I do. That's the only way to live, folks. That's the way of eternal life. So please, particularly you young people, and the reason why I say this is because you've been told things a lot longer than we were. Okay? You've been lied to by culture and society a lot longer than some of us older folks were. I mean, some of us still remember. I actually remember going into my science teacher's classroom. I think it was on Thursday. She was one of the old grandma teachers, you know. She had the old button-up dress and polyester dress on, and cat-eye glasses, and, you know, and she, man, she was a wonderful teacher. I didn't think so back then, but she was wonderful. Anyway, she called us in there, and she would sing Christian hymns. All her favorite hymn was Onward Christian Soldiers. Can you all believe that? I lived in that day. Would you get by with that now? I mean, your teacher? In just a regular class? Yeah. So, that's why I'm talking to you, particularly young people. But you older folks, listen up too. Don't buy into the lie. Okay? This whole mercy lie. Okay, that if we speak truth or we call for justice, that we're being unmerciful and we're being hateful. It is not the truth. Now, if I have a hateful attitude, if I have a spiteful attitude, if you know what I'm saying, I've got a problem. Okay, but preaching truth and praying for justice to happen in this culture is not being unmerciful and it's not being hateful. But there is a way to do that. And we talked about that earlier. We'll talk about it some more as we go. So, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And the Bible says love never fails. So, just wrapping this up. Paul, I'd like to continue, but we'll have to talk about that. But take my time. Good. Well, not tonight. You don't want to say that tonight. You'll be here tonight. Well, you were good to 12:30 the other night, right? Anyway. Folks, you are in trouble. He doesn't have work tomorrow, man. Y'all in trouble. No, I will be conscious of your time. But seriously, though, I just try to do the best I can do. I love you all very much, and I just want to see us blessed. But Paul stopped between 12 and 14 to do some cleanup. Matter of fact, if you read the whole book, it was nothing but cleanup. And I just really felt like the Lord, I had planned to talk about love as the foundation for the gifts of the Spirit. But as I began to pray and to contemplate, and it's not like I was, an hour's of prayer, but just thinking about what God would stuff started pouring into my mind. And I really believe the Lord just said, we got some things we need to clean up, okay? And you know, in your life, if God's been dealing with you about something, clean it up. How many people have a mess at home? Ours happens to be growing into our entire house because we're remodeling. But anyway, how many people have a mess at home that you need to get cleaned up? Raise your hand. I'm going to ask for hands this time. Yeah. How many people have been looking at that mess for too long? It happens, doesn't it? My garage, my poor garage, I like my garage. It's absolute shambles right now. Why? Because we had to have some place to put the stuff that we're taking out of the house because we're remodeling. Why are we remodeling? Well, number one, for the integrity of the structure. Okay? We want the house to continue to be inhabited by us and last as long and be as good as it can be while we're there. Folks, I do believe God has come to tell us this specifically, that some of us have been looking at messes we should have cleaned up a long time ago, and because it's work, we're avoiding it. Okay? And you know, it could be just like my garage, too. My poor old garage was an innocent bystander. Now it's got a toilet sitting in it. It's got doors sitting in it. It's got trim sitting in it. And the reason why it's sitting here, because my garbage disposal place will only take one large item at a time. We had a mattress and box springs in our living room. We still got the, bedroom set in there, and we're walking around. So these rooms are innocent bystanders. Why? Because they're just collecting junk because of life, okay? So your mess may not be anything necessarily that you've done particularly or willfully, or it may not even be a sin, but it could just be some stuff that you've collected in your life just by living. And what's the Bible say? Let us lay aside what? Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So I'm not here to say you got sin in your life and you need to get it cleaned up, Brother Donnie. That's not what I'm saying. God knows, and God might be saying that to you. Okay? He might be. If he is, listen to him. But it could be the Lord saying, hey, man, you know that room you got in your spiritual house? There's a bunch of stuff you've been collecting. You just been throwing it in there. You need to get rid of it. You know, one of the greatest... I'm going to stop here. Jeffrey, give me 5 more minutes. One of the greatest hindrances to cleaning those messes up, we just got to get up off the couch and do it. The other day, I had leaves in my front yard. The leaf people were coming to mulch them up. And I'm praying, oh God, thank you for the weather. Don't let another horrible storm come, because you know what happens when the windstorms come. It's not just your leaves, but it's your leaves and the 3 neighbors down the street. And I'm praying, and I go out that day, didn't feel the greatest to begin with, but they were coming. I wanted to get it done. So I get out, and I get my leaf blower out, right? And I get the rake out, and I got my work clothes on. Didn't have my church clothes on, but I had my work clothes on. And then I go out, and I look up, and my gutter's full of leaves. What's this have to do with a more excellent way? I'll tell you. Got up on, got the ladder out. I got an electric leaf blower. Never have to worry about it starting. Got the ladder out. Got my extension cord out. Got up on there. Started blowing out the leaves, which made a mess in the yard. I already had a mess. Made another mess trying to clean the mess up. That's sometimes why we don't like to address things in our life, too, because we know we're going to make a mess cleaning the mess up we need to clean up. But, folks, there's only one way sometimes that things are going to get cleaned up is get up off the couch and do it. Okay, so I had everything out there, and I'm blowing everything around, and I end up with this huge, huge pile of leaves. Got them all blown out to the street. Got the yard mowed one more time. Thank God the wind didn't come. And you know what? Every time I drive into my house now, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, look at that. Look at that nice yard. All the leaves are gone. You know, why? Because I didn't tolerate what was in my yard. Okay, I put forth the effort to clean it up. I got a little dirty. I got my work clothes on. Church, I do believe in relation to this more excellent way, I do believe the Lord's been talking to some of us about some things that we do need to clean up. I know I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. God wants you to get your work clothes on. God wants you to get your work gloves out. God wants you to get your work tools out and go to work on what he's been talking about. Because God does not want a powerful mess in Church of Pentecost. Amen? So we're going to stop there for tonight. It's 8:34, but we want to stop there, and we want to pray.